All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, please open them up. We are in the book that we call 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 4. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Father in heaven, we ask that you please would open up our understanding of your word. We know that you tell us in this chapter to not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. We shouldn't be ignorant of things that are spiritual in nature. You want us to not know, but to know. And so as we get an education, we ask for you to give us the inspiration that only comes from you, Lord. We ask that you would anoint us, Lord. Teach us. I know last week we prayed and we've been praying for people to have the baptism of the Spirit. We want your spiritual gifts that you've given to each of us, Lord. And for those that are wanting to know, God, we ask that you would equip them, that you would open up their understanding of your word. Teach us your word of truth today. Help us to throw aside the lies that we've learned and maybe picked up from the past. Help us, equip us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So as we learn today, we're going through, again, this mini-series I'm just calling Spiritual Gifts. This is part two. But I want to open up by quoting A.W. Tozer. I wish I would have known about A.W. Tozer when I got saved. Here's what A.W. Tozer once said. Religious work can be done by natural men without the gifts of the Spirit, and it can be done well and skillfully. But work designed for eternity can only be done by the eternal Spirit. I love that. Work designed for eternity can only be done by the eternal Spirit. I wish I had known that. So when I was growing up, even growing up in Christianity, growing up not knowing anything, I was in my 20s, and some of you guys know, some of you are not yet 20. That's okay, take your time. I was in my 20s at least, going through like a drug-infused teenage life because of a messed up life growing up, and it messed up my mind, but came to Christ, and the Lord was calling me to serve Him. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew I had this sort of feeling within this leading that He was giving me. But I remember I just came out of the computer industry, and I was in a place called Rockwell in Newport Beach, which is Orange County, California. I was a computer techie. I was a computer geek. And in my 20s, this is the 1990s, I wanted to go to the largest computer network I could find. And so the biggest employer in Orange County, California at that time was a place called Rockwell Semiconductor Systems. There was over 5,000 employees in one location. It was a corporate site with 50 locations worldwide. And as a computer techie, nerd, geek, I targeted that place. I want to go there because I want to play with the toys when it comes to computer technology, the hardware, the software. The geek that wanted to get into like Microsoft software. This is the 1990s. And I remember going there, eventually got to work in network administration, and I love that. This is when you'd be able to jettison in, there's 50 locations worldwide. I'm talking the 1990s. Today people are like wowed by the fact that, I could look at another computer while not being there. We learn about that today, like Zoom and those kind of things. But we were doing a lot of that in the 1990s, early technology. And we learned how to do that. It wasn't fast. It was really slow at that time. But I remember learning about that. We did what was called network administration, web administration, what we now know as websites, domains, etc. And because of that background, when God was calling me to leave that company, I was there for some time, for some years. And I remember, I believe He was purposing it in my heart to get ready. I'm going to have you leave this place eventually and put you into what I knew, and I kind of formulated in my head and heart, like full-time ministry. Like, I didn't really know what that was. Again, I came out like I used to be a DJ, got like into drugs and bad relationships and all that kind of stuff. And the club life, when you get mixed up in that, for me it was like LA, Hollywood area, promoting parties. That was my background. And I was a computer nerdy, techie, geeky guy. That's why I love the turntable. We learned to take the turntable. Woo! I was one of those guys. That was me. That's what I did. And so your pastor, the pastor of this church, I used to be part of a hip-hop group, believe it or not, a long time, many moons ago, long time ago. No, I wasn't the guy that would rap. That was me. I was the guy in the turntables. That's what I did. And I got to be good at it. God used that, though, in various ways. And that's another story for another time. But being that as my background, just loving the tech of things. When I got into computers, same thing. I love the technology. I threw myself into it. But now I was a Christian, and I started to apply myself, and God would bless it. And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. Maybe this is your call for my life. And I started to think in my head and heart. Even as he was having me leave, I eventually left that place called Rockwell. It changed name to Connexent during the fax modem days. We used to develop these chips. I think it was a 56K modem. This is like, today we have fast internet. Back then, it was dial-up. Anybody remember dial-up? Okay, you're old if you remember dial-up. Right? Sorry. Because kids are like, what's dial-up? What's that? I'm going to get that on my iPhone. So that was a long time ago, many moons ago. So when the Lord had me leave that place, he sent me to a place. It was a Calvary Chapel. It was a church. And my first church I worked for was a Calvary Chapel in Orange County, California. I worked on staff with a missions group. It was called Safe Harbor International Relief. It was the city called Rancho Santa Margarita. That's a mouthful. That's the biggest name, I think, for a city. I remember the web forms, when you fill it out, like even some of the web forms wouldn't be big enough for you to, what city? Rancho Santa Margarita. So it was that kind of a city. It's big, the name at least. So I was there, and because of my background being a computer geek, I thought God was calling me to computers. I even started thinking of websites. This is the 1990s, and I remember registering a website. It was called, I'm pretty sure it's called Logos Lab. Logos means the word in Greek, logoslab.com. 1990s, this is a long time ago. And I registered our current website, you know, many years ago, before, I think it was before I left California, which is right after 9/11. So I was a geek, a techie. I got into it. And I went to this church, and I'm like, hey, yes, God, you're going to use this gifting that you gave me. And I thought he was. So I got the church's website up and running. I remember they had an email prayer chain. They're like really happy about that. We're talking the 1990s, back when many companies didn't even have their own website yet. They're like their .coms. And churches, most churches didn't even have a website back then. So we got that kind of stuff up and running. We got things up and running for the Bible college that was there. And yet I go into prayer. And I remember this time going into prayer. Typically, my daily prayer would be something like this. Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I believe that he was telling me at the time, I need you to step down from, you know, being the computer geek, the techie guy. And I'm thinking, you know that passage? The Lord rebuke you. Like, that was not the Lord. That couldn't be. This is my calling. I started thinking of companies that I could, you know, do, like Computers for Christ. I even, Logos Lab, I developed a business card with a logo and all that, printed them up. It just died. I'm like, that's not what you want me to do. But I was now in this church, and I thought, oh, I'm going to use my gifts for the glory of God. And because I was such a good computer, techie, geeky, nerdy guy, and I got really good at it, really good. I loved it. And it wasn't so much me. I learned that I was just applying Bible principles. And I remember being able to share with the network director, the guy. He was a Persian guy, an Iranian guy who came over. Not a Christian. I remember talking with him one time. This is at that company I was at. And asking him, because he'd bring people in They'd hire them that on paper they had like the Microsoft certification, Cisco certification, if you're familiar with that. Me, I didn't have a technical degree. I was just this snot-nosed kid that loved being a computer geek. I had my own network at home, and so they hired me, and it did well. And different bosses within that company would gobble me up into their group. I remember talking to my boss, who was you know, not a Christian at the time. Why am I here? Because, you know, I see you bringing people in. They've got these advanced degrees. I'm one of the guys, you'll pair me up with them. It's like, okay, let me know about him. I go, I throw a guy on a computer, and we would play tricks on these guys. They come in, they look good on paper. So we take the keyboard off the computer, and we say, tell me about my network. And they're like, I can't because I don't have a keyboard. It's like, get out of here. It's like, okay, so how do you do things when you got to fix things up? Or we take the mouse off. You ever try to operate a computer, like a Windows computer without a mouse? It's hard for people to do that today. But computer geeky, nerdy, techie guys, they can get in with just a computer because you're using the computer all the time. So I was one of those guys that I would maybe size someone up and then maybe at times train someone, and I'd tell my boss, nah, this guy is not too good. Nah, that one, he's good on paper. He's got this advanced degree. They don't know anything. Get him out of here. And this other guy, nah, this guy, he's a hacker. Don't let him on our network. But I remember asking my boss at that time, like, why do you have me here? Because you got these guys that have these computer degrees, advanced certifications, and I don't have anything. He's like, well, you're young, you work hard, you learn. I remember looking at his face and just telling him, no, it's not. It's the Lord. And he's like, no. Because I started telling him about God. I used it as an open door to preach to him about salvation. It's like, no, God just blessed me, and I'm applying Bible principles. He's like, God. Give me a break. No, it's because I'm like, no. So I was wanting giving praise, honor, and glory to God. And I realized the light bulb went off for me that sometimes you could just apply God's principles and he'll bless it. Even if you don't know what you're doing. So he did that with me. And I thought automatically, hey, this must be my calling then. Computers for Christ. Computers with a calling. I had like all these taglines I was wanting to use. So it came time where he wanted me to jettison out of that. And I came to this church. And because I was good with computers and networking computers and websites and all that kind of stuff, like, oh, you have the gift of, guess what? If you look at this list, guess what people pigeonholed me as having? Administration. They thought, okay, I've had a couple of people tell me, oh, you obviously have the gift of administration, you're good with computers, you can do administrative work. And my whole life was like office type work, that I could run that show there. And I could do it and do it well. So I'm like, oh, okay. I just listened. But I went into prayer after being there, and I want to tell a little bit about my story on this because this might help someone here. Where on my journeys, my short journeys with the Lord Jesus, I found that many of us, it's kind of like when God was looking for the second king of Israel. He used Samuel. The first king of Israel was who? Saul. The second king of Israel, Samuel goes. He goes to David's family. And Samuel, he looks at this tall, handsome dude, David's oldest brother. He's like, oh, surely this is the one. It's like, remember the first king you picked? Tall, dark, and handsome. That must be it. Hey, that's the one that they want to lead. And God said, don't look at his height nor his stature, for I rejected him. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So many times, that's a principle. Many times you and I totally miss God's calling, the way that God speaks, because we might be looking at something and we think, that's obviously it. Well, that's the beginning of my story. And as I go into prayer, I believe that the Lord was telling me for some time, no, it's not computers. I want you to hand that off. And I'd be like almost arguing with God, hey, whatever. And I went to go talk with the director at the church where I was at. Like, hey, I think God's telling me that I need to step down and hand this off. And right away, he's like, no, that can't be from God. Look, we need you here. You're good with the technology. I want to start getting into encryption and all this stuff because we would communicate in third world countries, send missionaries there, and it was real dangerous to communicate. We'd use satellite phones and like real high-tech kind of stuff for that time. And I'm like, oh, okay. He said no. And I go back in prayer. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And it's almost like this crushing in my spirit. What are you doing? I told you. Okay, I tried. So I got to talk with the pastor, the senior pastor of that church. where I had to tell him, it's like, I think the Lord's wanting me to step down. And I'm sorry, sir, but I think this is not what God wants me to do. So I scheduled a meeting with the senior pastor, went in his office, I sat down, and then right away, the director that I tried to say, he was my direct boss at the time, he opened the door, came into the pastor's office, sat down, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of awkward. And the pastor, good thing, he knew it was happening. He looked at the guy and said, you know, can you leave us alone? So I was able to open my heart and share. I said, I tried telling so-and-so, but not listening. And about a month or so, it transpired at the time. It felt like I was being in sin. I was being disobedient to God because man was getting in the way. So don't let others pigeonhole you. I do want to share that. That it can happen. It can happen to me. It did happen. Because I was good with administration type things, others thought, oh, you must have the gift of administration. And I could tell you that when there are people, like some of them have that gift, I'll say, I don't even know if I have that gift. When I do these kind of things, it burns me out. But I have the ability to do administrative tasks, but it's just not something that I think God has supernaturally gifted and empowered me with. So I wanted to share that with you because sometimes God can have his calling, but sometimes we might look at something else. And I don't want you to take that road. And being a minister here, brother and friend here in this church, you've got a calling with God. And I think one of the things that God allowed me to do in going through that is to understand and to experience that sometimes others might see you just on the outside, but not look at the natural, but not the supernatural. What is it that God has equipped you with? And that's our challenge as we grow and go with God. Amen? That we want to see these things. So instead of me working as a computer tech, God was calling me to things like pastoral ministry. That's exactly what I did not want to do. I always saw myself as the guy behind the scenes. I can assist someone else. Hey, I'll set up your network. I could do, like, I was a DJ, so I worked for, in Orange County, California, the best DJ store. So I got to know the tech, got to know a lot of DJs. This is why I know how to set up, like, the audio and do all this kind of stuff. I thought that was going to be my calling. But God allowed me to pick up some stuff along the way. So later on, when he's wanting me to be part of a church plant, oh, I know how to do these things. I need to set it up and equip it, but then hand it off. God was calling me to do what I'm doing now, to teach his word, to lead his people, and to disciple Christians. That might be what someone here is called to. I don't know. So try to look past just the natural, the exterior, and look to the supernatural. Because I hated public speaking. I'll tell you, when I would think of myself doing public speaking, and I would listen to, I took a class, like, public speaking. Anybody take that? I forced myself to take that in college. Why? Because it freaked me out. And I listened to myself. I thought I sounded like Charlie Brown. I told my wife, I said, oh, you don't sound like Charlie Brown. I'm like, I'm like, God, you don't want to use me. So sometimes your examination of yourself might be totally opposite of what God's wanting. My point is this, just be open for God to gift you with his supernatural spiritual gifts. Be open for that. Because he wants you to do a supernatural work for God. Just like A.W. Tozer wrote, I love this, work designed for eternity can only be done by the eternal spirit. So as this chapter opens up, back to this book in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're told to not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So we looked at that last week. You guys can go to the YouTube channel or even on Facebook or our website to listen or to watch it. That was last week in part one, so to speak, of this series. So now as we get ready to learn about spiritual gifts, look at what we learn now in verse 4 and on. We're learning that there are diversities of gifts. I'm going to show you here something on the screen. Now, I did the homework so you don't have to. And what I'm showing you is a little snapshot of my Bible study software. We read verses 4, 5, and 6, and the peculiar thing to pick out from this passage is this word. I color-coded it in red. Verse 4, diversities. Verse 5, differences. Verse 6, again, diversities. When you dig past the surface in English, the original word that Paul used here
is the same word.
So I wanted to bring this up. It's only used three times in the Bible and only here. Only what we read and what you've heard. What this speaks of is it speaks of varieties. What's showing here, you could blue letter Bible that, and you'll find the same thing. That's called Thayer's, that's showing on the screen. If you look in a concordance called Strong's, or even the New American Standard dictionary of this, it will show the word varieties. Basically, and as I color-coded here, put highlight in yellow, they're spiritual gifts that God gives his kids, and they are distinctly different. Even if every one of us has the same spiritual gift, or the same sort of gifts, plural, they're all going to be different. You could see somewhat ways that they may occur, but the way that you use them will be distinctly different. Amen? It's good to know that. Because the one who created you, he is so creative, and you are so unique and special, as by the Creator's hand, that as you're created in Christ Jesus for good works, he's gifted you. And it may be a similar gift by name that we call for that gift for someone else as well. You might see it, and we can see it and name it on paper and study it in the Bible, but the way that he's gifted you is very creative and very unique. I want you to know that. So as we looked at last week, you are his workmanship. Amen? Again, the word workmanship, in the original language, poema. You're his poem. You're God's poetry. You're his masterpiece. You're his work of art. You are. When he saved you, and he gifts you now, he gifts you with something that comes from him. Look at this. His diversities, or distinctly different type of gifts. And we looked at the fact that these gifts, they are gifts of what? Literally, charisma. Gifts of grace. It's good to kind of think about that again. And to hear that, perhaps. Maybe someone here needs to hear that. That God has gifted you with a gifting of grace. So God's telling us that these spiritual gifts that he gives us, they are all distinctly different. So each of these verses uses this Greek word. It's the only place in the entire Bible. So this is one of those beautiful ways and times to do a word study so you can see. It was translated differently by the translators for this Bible in verse 4, 5, and 6. And if you have different Bible translations, it may say something a little different. It may say varieties. Diversities, differences. Basically, the gifts are distinctly different. So take out your page, your handout. Again, we're starting off this series, and we're trying to go slow. I've learned my short journeys with the Lord on both coasts that I could teach through this. We can go through series. They're great Bible teachers, especially within Calvary Chapel. We love teaching on, speaking on, and equipping people for gifts. But it takes some time for it to seep in, doesn't it? Even in this group here. I mean, I've been out here 22 years. We go over this over and over and over. And if you're bored of it, or you're like, hearing about that again, I hear it over and over, good. You know what that means? That means it's a teaching technique. Your parents do this. You as a parent do this. How many times you got to tell me, Mom? How many times, Dad? Till you do it. Right? Till you do it, till you memorize it. Same thing with something like this. So it locks in your long-term memory. So you have a paper. This is a handout. Again, if you need another one, you can see Miss Letitia later on. There's 17 that are listed here. There's about 18-ish, perhaps, gifts. These are the ones that are delineated in the Bible as spiritual gifts. These are all distinctly different. We're not going to go through all these right here and now, but there are distinctly different gifts. I'm going to show it here on the screen. This is what you have in your hand as a handout. That's page one. That's page two. We'll just leave it there for now. But if I could illustrate some of these, and we're going to have to be quick here because we're going to have to close and do communion. If you have your Bibles, if you're in 1 Corinthians, turn to the left. Go to Acts, could you? We went through this kind of recently too. Just thinking out, praying through these things. Because it's all, by the way, they're all over the book of Acts. Some would say that maybe the book of Acts, might be called the Acts of the Apostles in your Bible, as far as a header, it really should be rightly named the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So he's empowering people like Peter. Look at Acts chapter 2. We've gone through this over and over and over again. This is commonly called the day of what? Pentecost. Okay? The day of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 2, we have, and we're not going to read through this. I just want to refer you to it. It's a big chapter. Between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, some of you guys, especially on the servant team, when you're looking at the numbers of days between Acts 1 and Acts 2, about how many days occurred? About 7 days, about a week. Okay, so Jesus told them in Acts 1 verse 8, not many days from now, you shall receive dunamis, is the Greek word, dynamic, dynamite growth, super boom, supernatural power. Then about 8 days later, or 7 days later, roughly, the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, boom. Peter's preaching in Acts 1. He's declaring forth God's word. He's correct. You know, let another man take his office, another man take his place, referring to Judas Iscariot, who dropped off. He was fake. Bring out another one. But God told him, or you say Jesus told him, Luke records in both Luke as well as Acts. One passage, he says, stay. Kind of like you're telling a dog, stay. Wait, no, don't move, stay. Anybody have a dog? It's kind of hard to train them sometimes, right? We used to put like a biscuit on the nose. You see it like drool. I don't do that anymore. If I had a dog, I wouldn't do that anymore. I was a little kid. God forgive me. Stay. Wait. So God tells him in one passage in Luke's writing, either in the book of Luke or in Acts, stay in Jerusalem. Wait. Wait for what? The empowerment of the Spirit. The promise of the Father. What is that? The Holy Spirit would fall upon you. The Greek word api, or upon. And what's he going to do? He's going to empower you to be a witness unto Jesus. From Jerusalem, the holy city, to Judea, that was a southern kingdom, the time when the kingdoms were divided between the north and the south. Samaria, okay, up northwest of Jerusalem, could continue to go further out into the othermost parts of the earth. So they were to stay and wait for the empowerment. Peter didn't wait. You ever go before God and you get yourself in trouble? Remember Abraham and Sarah? Remember, now wives, don't do this. The wife had a bright idea. Now God says that we're supposed to have a son, and I'm a little too old. You know, the hardware ain't working. I think God needs a little help. So Abraham, take my maidservant, Hagar, go sleep with her. Like, that's not a good idea. What did that birth? Ishmael. Do the Israelites still have a problem with Ishmael today? They do. Okay. Hello. Think of like the Gaza Strip. Okay. Anyhow, we won't go into that further. They still have a problem with that. So anything you birth in the flesh will become a problem. Okay. Stay and wait. Wait for God's empowerment. Amen. We need to do that. So Peter didn't wait. Acts chapter 2, though, now the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And now Peter opens up his mouth. Huge swaths of scripture. Now, this guy actually knew a lot of the word. Now he's preaching, but it's in context. It's in alignment with the Holy Ghost, who wrote these things, empowered by him. So we see Peter with giftings like prophecy. You'll find that on the sheet. Prophecy. Prophecy is used to preach God's word. A lot of times, that's been kind of blasphemed in America. A lot of times we think, oh, prophecy? That's the guy that stands up and is like, ooh, I have this moving in me. Or the guy on TV appealing to the camera, he's crying. That could be the case, but a lot of times there are very, very many prophets, just like it says in the Bible, false prophets. Okay, beware of that. But we see that the gift of prophecy many times is used to preach God's word. The Old Testament prophets, they were the preachers of God's word. But they weren't just like, ooh, I feel it. They weren't preaching about emotion and being pushy with people and being false prophets, just collecting money. They were declaring God's word. So Peter's gifted now with gifts like prophecy and exhortation. Exhortation is used to bring a holy conviction upon hearts so that you would encourage people to apply God's word. We see that. You could read and study that later on. That's Acts 2. And then turn to Acts 5. We're going to have to close here in just a little bit. So a couple of examples here. Acts 5, the same person. You got Peter now, again, empowered by the Spirit. Peter's gifted with, and you'll see it on your page here, this one is called Word of Knowledge. Word of Knowledge, isn't that prophecy? That gets confused many times. If prophecy is used, which most of the time it's not, where I'm declaring something in the future, oftentimes that's what we think. And many times I find over 90% of what I hear Christians tell me, not from God. Not from God. So know your Bible, know how to test things by and with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, not your feelings, not your emotions. Amen? Okay. So if some false prophet comes up to you, gives you a pitch like a used car salesman, buy now, and heavy on the pressure, quoting the Bible, this happens. There's people that know how to do this. Satan's laughing. Okay, and just be careful because they're going to try to misguide you. And that happens. That happened to me. Okay, so once you've been burned, then you learn. Amen? Once you've been burned, then you learn. Anybody been burned? Did you learn? Okay, so let's get back to the Bible. All right, so in Acts chapter 5, we see that there's this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, in collusion with each other. But, oh, God's going to reveal something. And as I was about to say, many times the word of knowledge as a spiritual gift gets confused with prophecy. If it's used in this fashion, word of knowledge is something that God will reveal to you that only God knows and that person's heart, not you. You don't have prior knowledge. Something current going on in someone's life. Many times it's not used like you see it here, where Peter's like calling out someone. That can be the case, but many times it might be you are woken up by God. You're like fully awake. Lord, it's 3 a.m. This is weird. I thought I was tired. And he's putting someone on your heart. Ah, they're okay. I don't need to pray for them. Has that ever happened to you guys? You'll come to someone like me, I'll tell you, you know, if God's giving you some knowledge, it's too wonderful for you. Ask him. Ask him for wisdom. He may be wanting someone to pray for someone that's going on, something going on with them right now. That's called the word of knowledge, if it is valid. Knowledge given to you from God's heart to you, knowledge that which you had no way of knowing. You didn't have prior knowledge. It's not like, oh, I talked to their spouse. Pray for them. And then you go and talk to this person. They're like, how'd you know? And it's like in the back of your head, you're like, I just talked to your wife. No, that's not the case. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's just unholy flesh. Okay, so prophecy, if it's given about something future, then that's prophecy. But if it's something current, we would call that the word of knowledge. Okay, so in Acts chapter 5, let me just summarize it. You could read this in Acts 5, 1 through 11. Peter's been gifted with this gift called the word of knowledge. And he's being used by God to reveal something that's currently going on in a person's life. With that, it's the husband and the wife, Ananias and Sapphira. So he's confronting them, and it's like, Lord, why'd you do that and make it public? Yeah, how many billions of people do you think read about this in the Bible? Tons and tons. Notice in verse 11, though, as this gift of word of knowledge could be used to reveal something currently going on in someone's life. By the way, this is like real scary here. They actually died, both Ananias and Sapphira, and then people had to come and bury them. And the first one, they come, the people bury them, they come back, oh man, that was real sweaty, and oh. And then the wife, poof, again, ah, oh, and they go, they take her and bury her. Notice this in verse 11. So great fear, this is Acts 5 verse 11, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So, as seen in verse 11, the word of knowledge can be used to bring the fear of God upon people. Okay. And these are things we don't want to take lightly. These are supernatural gifts. Don't just try to fake it till you make it and try to guess at things. That could be dangerous and you could actually, you know, mess with people's lives or marriage or walks. Okay, so don't do that. So we got to learn God's word, like we're told in 1 Corinthians 12, to not be ignorant. We're going to end at this point. I'm going to go into a time of prayer, but I just want to encourage you, before we partake of communion as a church family, get to know the gifts that are here, pray through them, and Lord, pray for us too, if you would, and please keep coming back every Sunday. By the way, next Sunday, Andy's going to be teaching here. You can pray for him. But as we continue on from there out, God willing, we'll learn more and more about the gifts. Chapter 12 is one of the only chapters in the entire Bible that actually lists the gifts. Chapter 13, we get into the greater gift. What is that? love. Love. Look how she says, oh, yeah. Agape love. And in chapter 14, we see an example of how they're applied. But let's go ahead and pray, and then the fellows can start distributing communion. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Oh, Lord, open up our understanding of your holy word. Teach us, Lord. Help us to be open. God, we prayed for many of those that are here right now. We prayed for them last week that you would anoint them, that you would empower them. And many of us have already been given gifts. Help us to keep surrendering to your spirit. And like Peter in Acts 1, help us to wait upon you, to stay in prayer. Help us to see godly examples, both in your word and also in the church. Help us to see others as they love one another. Help us to see as they encourage each other. Help us to see as we might have gifts of teaching. We can teach your word to people and encourage them through the gift of exhortation to apply it. Show us these things. Show us which gifts you've given to each of us, God. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We know we have a calling with you. But you desire for us to not be ignorant of the gifts, but to know what ones, as a giver of gifts, that you've given to each of us as your children. Because our lives are meant to glorify you. And we can only serve you, only minister truly with the empowerment that you equip us with. So teach us these things, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.